welcome back to the Greg Herenda Show. And if you don't know it, you know it now. That is the Nevada Wolfpack fight song, and we have one of the Wolfpack's finest, Mr. Nate Burleson from the NFL Today Show, but more importantly, a Nevada Wolfpack. Welcome to the Greg Herenda Show, Nate.
Hey, I'm glad to be here. I appreciate you having me on.
How'd you like that? Did that music get you pumped up a little bit or what?
Of course, man, of course. You know, anytime I get to see and listen to anything that has to do with the Wolfpack, it gets me pumped up, man.
Amen. Now, the word has it, Nate, and this show is about the origination, where you came from, and I know you're a Canadian guy, but did you not want to go to Washington? I know you moved to Seattle. Was Washington Huskies, was that your personal first choice before you decided to go to Nevada, or no?
Yeah, 100%. I was actually I was going to sign there 2 weeks before I was going to sign my letter of intent.
Yep.
I was set to go to my recruiting trip.
Okay.
And Rick Neuheisel, who took over head coach there,
yep,
he sent me a letter, him and his staff, and said, I know that this school is recruiting you. I have my own recruits from the school that I had been at. And he said, but you can walk on. And I remember receiving that letter, and I was devastated because my father was a Husky. My older brother was a Husky. And from there, I just went into not really panic mode, but I tried to figure out where I want to go next. Now, the next best choice was Washington State.
Yep.
And for some reason, I couldn't go there because I grew up in the Apple Cup rivalry of Washington and Washington State.
Gotcha.
And I chose Nevada football over Clemson basketball. Most people don't know. Whoa. I had more recruitment letters for basketball than I did football.
I know you could hoop, and I heard about it, and I heard you're still breaking backboards, and you know the deal, man. Every football player wants to hoop. Yes or no? Like, is that?
Oh, that's a fact. And it was even worse for me because my older brother played in the NBA for a couple of years, played overseas for a few years, and now he coaches with the Minnesota Timberwolves.
No, exactly. Now, Kevin, who did Kevin play for? Nate, for Charlotte. Was that before Steve Clifford? How long ago was that? Do you know who was the head coach for Charlotte when Kevin played the point?
Oh, man, that was about 2005.
Oh, it was, okay,
around,
it was
around
back.
2005, so
it was
I'm
back,
not sure who was there when
day.
He was there. But
gotcha.
Yeah, he played a few years there and then went overseas and played in Germany.
Yeah,
came back. But he has a true basketball Jones, man. He loves basketball. There were times where, you know, we're in middle school together. We're only 2 years apart.
Right.
I'd be on the phone flirting with girls, and he would be in the garage watching Pistol Pete dribbling tapes and working on his handle. And that was the reason why he was so good at basketball.
I love it. Describe your game. Now, Drew Kalisky, let the truth be known. Do you know anything about his hoop game?
I can tell, by the way, that Drew Kalisky, the great producer for NFL Today. And by the way, you know, since he showed up, you know, we're getting Emmy nods. So, you know, for whatever it's worth,
okay.
I like to give people flowers while they can still smell them.
Yes.
He needs to get more credit than what he deserves, man, because he's crafted together one hell of a team, one hell of a show. And year in and year out, we're getting better and better. So shout out to my guy, Drew. I love that, man. I wouldn't be on NFL Today if it wasn't for him, and I wouldn't be as good as I am if it wasn't for his tutelage.
Amen.
But, yeah, I can tell by the way he talks about hoop that he has skills. But you know how it is. Older guys, he got the gray hair, he doesn't want to brag.
Yes.
But for some reason, I feel like he's a spot-up shooter, can put the ball on the ground a little bit. Am I right?
No, forget it. He can't put the ball on the ground. He's just
oh, okay.
He's radar. We work together. We were doing a pen game together in the Ivy League for the Yes Sports Network, and at the end of the shoot-around, Drew and I took on two penmen, the Quakers, after the game in a shooting contest. We destroyed them. So Drew Kalisky, just you got to give him love. He can shoot it. I know he's definitely listening. We've had Bill Cowher on. We've had Phil. We've had Boomer. I got to get JB, but Nate, your game, obviously athletic, off the bounce. Give me your game. Like, Clemson was recruiting you. Why was Clemson recruiting you? What was your expertise?
Well, it was the fact that I can control the court. I was very unselfish. I was an all-state offense and defense, so
right.
I can get to the bucket. I can hit the mid-range. and I wasn't going to turn the ball over. And then on the other side of the court,
wow,
I was going to guard your best defensive player, wow, or your best player, and really lock him up. And because Gary Payton was such a big figure in Seattle, I was known as the baby glove. So they would, like, hold their wrist and put the glove up for me like they would for Gary Payton. Wow. And, you know, I think that kind of describes my game. I guess you would say Westbrook-ish. You know, he's just a prolific scorer. But
yeah.
I would give you, you know, 14 points,
right,
8 rebounds, 9 assists, 5 steals. So I pretty much do it all.
You were a coach's dream. And if you have eligibility, man, you're not that far. You live in Bergen County. If you ever want, I need to have you come to a practice and watch one of our practices.
I would love to, man. I would love to. I'd love to come and get on the court with you guys, man. I give these young pups a run for the money. Listen, I'm 38 years old. I'm still jumping a 38-inch vertical, so I'll catch somebody slipping at the rim, and then nobody's going to turn the ball over on me. And on top of that, I'm going to make your guards feel hell when I slap the floor,
Nate,
and play defense.
You are a coach's dream. Nate, tell me this, man. You're hanging out with all these retired, like old – I hate to say it. They're going to take shots at me. Like, do they give you some ribbon off the air? You're the young buck on the NFL Today show, and it's a tremendous—I mean, it's the show that everyone watches. And I'll get to how you got on the show, but what's the generation gap like between all these old dudes?
You know, I was raised by my mom and dad to always respect the OGs, and I came in my first year. Now, I look at it like being a rookie. You know, you observe more than you talk. You're polite. You're respectful. You understand your place, and this isn't me, you know, setting aside my talent. It was more of me setting aside my ego.
Yep.
And what I did was I wanted to, one, allow these guys to understand that I respect who you are and what you've done for this game. And
right,
then, two, I took my whole first season as an opportunity to prove to them that I know the sport. So
right,
I would find little pockets of time to talk about more than just being a wide receiver. Because you hire a wide receiver to be on TV, you assume all they know is that position. So whenever I could jump in the conversation, I would talk about what quarterbacks saw or what linebackers looked at or
right,
how deep the lineman got to the QB or what a kicker might be going through while he's trying to hit a game winner, what coaches might see when they're watching all 22. I think fairly quickly they realized I was a different breed, and
yes,
I wasn't here to just collect a check. I wanted to contribute. And for me, I love it because I get to – soak up the knowledge of some
right,
of the greatest minds of the game. And what I love about these guys is that whatever your perception is of Boomer, Coach Cowher, Phil, JB,
yep,
they're probably a little bit of what you think they are,
right,
and they're a lot of bit of what you don't think they are. And that's what makes us who we are. And I think the most important quality that we have is that it's a family. And this is very cliche for shows to say.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can be honest with you. And Drew can
yep,
attest to this, too, man. He's,
sure,
he's been around this business a long time.
Yep.
A lot of people say, oh, we love our show, and we're cool, and we have fun together. There's nothing like us on the set in between commercial breaks.
Right.
After the show, we can, like, BS with each other,
yes,
poke fun at each other. It really gives us that locker room feel.
Right.
And you know what's even more special about it is even though we have a coach on the set, he's not a coach on the set. He's like one of the players.
That's
so
right.
We all have this very strong bond. And you know you get along with somebody when you hang around with them so much that you don't recognize the age gap.
Right.
And that's when you know it's real.
Right. Well, you have the common bond. It's the game. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And you were in the locker room. You played the game at a high level. But your transition, and there's so much to talk about, Nate, just doing research on you. You're so diverse. In basketball and in football and in broadcasting and your family, your brothers, your dad. But at the end of the day, that transition, when was there a seminal moment in your life where you said, okay, I can't put the pads on anymore. I think I can do this. When was that moment where you transitioned into broadcasting?
I remember going to the broadcast boot camp later in my career,
right,
and I remember being a standout. Like, a lot of people patting me on the back, and it's ironic because JD was there as a presenter. So
right,
I remember him saying, man, you know, you got some talent. If you really want to do this, you know, stick with it. And I still had a few more years left in the league, and I remember walking away from the broadcast boot camp being complimented by all these people that have been in the business, but there was something in me that that felt inferior, almost to the point where it was like a reset button on being good at something.
Yeah.
Because there were so many things about the art of being on TV, calling games, eye contact, body language, being concise, not rambling. And I thought, I don't know how to do these things.
Right.
And I was like, and it almost became an infatuation. How do I get better at these things?
Oh, nice.
So that infatuation turned into determination,
yep,
which turned into opportunity.
Yes.
And once I got done playing, I was at year 11. I got a call from the Seahawks and a call from the Atlanta Falcons. And they said, hey, Nate, we know that you are somewhat retired, but you know, you played last year.
Right.
You were hurt half the year. We know that you can still play. So how about you get back on the field?
Right.
And my agent even said, Nate, your last season, you played 8 games and had 40 catches. Like,
right,
you're not retired. You're just upset that the Browns cut you.
Exactly.
And maybe I was. I think I was frustrated because it was the first time a team said, I don't want you, and it was because I was injured. The Browns said, look, you broke your arm and tore your hamstring in one summer. At 33 years
wow.
old, we can't
That's
guarantee
tough.
You
right.
the money you want.
Sure.
So we're going to have to let you go.
Okay.
And I remember at that point, I had to decide, do I heal up, go chase money in a Super Bowl ring somewhere,
right?
Or do I close one chapter and open
Start
up another?
Your life,
and it was
yeah.
one of the most difficult decisions because
yeah.
my body wasn't ready to walk away from the game because I still could play. There's a reason why, even now, 5 years later, I'm almost 40, and I broke 2 backboards this offseason. So there's the part of me that, like, when I work out, I'm like, damn, I walked away way too soon.
Right.
Like, I was healthy. My mind was fragile because I started to fall apart physically, but I was
right.
healthy. I could have played.
Right.
But there was a large part of me that didn't want to cheat the game. And I didn't want to show up every day as a vet who was only going to play
right.
9 or 10 games and steal an opportunity from a young guy who really deserves it and is healthy and can go out there and start a career like I did. So I decided not to take on those opportunities for the Seahawks and the Falcons. And
sure.
And, of course, I reached out to them, and I asked them, I said, what do you want from me? Am I on for the rest of the year, or am I filling in for somebody? And they were honest. They said, we got some injuries, and if our guys get healthy and you're playing well, there's a chance that we'll release you, too.
Right.
And I'm like,
yeah.
well, I'm not going to be the guy that just – it's like that boxer they call just to be a punching bag for a contender.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't want to be that dude. My agent's like, bro, listen, it's $1 million for the vet minimum. I mean, you're getting like $55,000 a week, which – when I heard him saying that, I didn't hear about my money because my money was fine.
Right.
What I heard him saying was, hey, I need my 3%. Get your ass out there and play some more football.
Yes.
But, so I just thought to myself, it's time
it's
to move
time.
On. And I think that was my transition year where football, the things that I loved about it, the glitz, the glamour, the praise, the people standing up
sure.
hearing your name,
sure.
the money, none of that was important to me. It was more peace of mind. And I think at that point, my peace of mind was, who am I? Who
yes.
am I? Am I a former football player that's always going to look at himself as a football player?
Yep.
Or am I going to start a career where I can shake the title of a football player and become a personality?
You know, it's interesting. I watched the Dallas Cowboys and related to you, like the Witten came back. He went
yep.
into that. That's got to be hard. And I'm not getting into his personal situation and why and if it was for money or Jerry, you know, gave him a ton of cash or he missed it. But I think once you made that decision, you were done. You didn't. Did you have any reservations or a lot of reservations when you went to the boot camp and you weren't on, you weren't in a camp with an NFL team?
I did have reservations because that following year, and I was sparingly
yeah.
doing work with the NFL Network, flying into Los Angeles,
right.
and I would train with these young guys who, you know, they were my teammates,
so
and I was just on
the
team with last
year,
yeah. and we'd work out,
and you were better
quarterbacks
than these
would
guys.
Say, they say, Nate, like, what are you doing?
What's
like,
up?
You can still run, you can still catch, and I would have to respond, I don't know if my body can hold up,
yeah.
so who am I cheating?
Right.
Am I cheating the team, cheating myself, or cheating my family?
That's hard.
Because if I get hurt anymore, I'm going to be limping around the front yard while I'm trying to play catch with my kid.
You know what, man? You made the right. You were ahead of your time. You were smart. And we're talking with Nate Burleson. Nate led the NCAA in his senior year in receiving yards and receptions per game. I mean, you were like a stocking stuffer on the basketball court and football, and you were drafted in the 3rd round by the Minnesota Vikings. Just tell tell me about how different the draft night was compared to it is now. How'd you feel when you were drafted, when you were just getting into the league?
Well, it's such a big fiasco now, and I don't want to use fiasco in a negative way.
I understand.
It's a big production, and I love it because these guys deserve to have this one moment in time,
right?
You know, remembered forever in the way that it's put together. But for me, I was drafted in the third round. I knew I was one of the most talented players in the draft. Forget about wide receivers. In my mind, I was the best wide receiver in college football. But I knew that I was one of the most talented players. And I remember the team saying, "Wilson, we'll get you in the late first round." And I was like, "All right, cool." And then the first round came, passed me up. Second round came, passed me up. And now I'm waiting in the third, and I'm kind of pissed off. I'm thinking to myself, there's like seven receivers that went before me. These dudes can't even, like, hold my jock strap. And these teams are picking them up. And it kind of made me mad.
Sure.
And I remember the Vikings drafted me, which didn't really have interest in me. And my coach told me when I got to Minnesota, we didn't need a wide receiver. We had Randy Moss. The only reason we picked you up in the third round was because we were surprised you were still there.
You're the best available.
And you know what's funny is, like, I kind of give the new generation of athlete a hard time about talking before you go out and prove. Like, you know, going out there and being a bigger personality than the action you put out on the field. But a part of me wishes I did, because I guarantee you this. With the numbers that I put up, you're talking 138 catches in one season. I mean, one game I caught 20 footballs, and literally it was lights out like in the Matrix.
Who threw you the 1,600 yards? Yeah.
I feel like if I would have told people how good I was and barked about it and made a big deal about myself, I would have went top 15. But I was raised humbly, and I didn't say much, and I just kind of like, I'm happy to be here. Thank you. So I'm kind of like caught between how I used to think, which is very old school, and the new wave of thinking. Because you know the business. Sometimes it's not just about your skill. It's also about promoting yourself.
Amen.
And the new generation of athlete, they have an advantage of YouTube and Instagram and Twitter and videos. And all. I didn't have that. So I kind of feel like I would have barked more in college, even in my career, because sometimes the squeaky wheel gets the grease,
you're
know?
You're right. But you were raised, you know, long term it paid off, because you were raised, you know, out of the genes that your family possesses. I mean, it's just incredible. Your brother Alvin, Kevin, Lindell, your dad played. Now, your dad played professional football at some capacity, did he not?
Yeah, he played in the USFL, played in the CFL for a while, had a shot in the league early in his career, but he played like 8 years in Canada, which is, I was born out there. My mom went to visit. My mom and dad had four boys. I was the only one out of the four born outside the country.
We've had so many, Kenny. We had the assistant coach for the Toronto Raptors. One of our new assistant coaches is from Montreal, Maurice Joseph. So we've had a lot of Canadian and the success, even in the U.S. Women's Open. Canada is being respected now for, and it should, and obviously hockey. Did you ever play hockey at all? It sounds, I don't see that in your giddy up. I know you were in Seattle, but did your brothers or anybody in your family play the national pastime up there?
Nah, but it was one of those sports that we always appreciated. And, you know, my dad was at the end of his career when I was born, so once I popped out, I was only there during my infancy stages, and then we moved to Seattle shortly thereafter.
Put us inside the studio on a Sunday morning, and you guys are having production meetings. Is it tight? Is it loose? Is Drew right in there with you, or is he in your ear? Does JB run it? Just give the common fan a look into that NFL Today world, Nate, if you could.
Oh, Drew's in the mix, baby. It doesn't. Our meetings don't go without Drew. He's like the Bill Belichick of the meeting.
Yes.
You know, he'll come in and he'll walk in. Everybody's good. He says what's up to everybody.
Right.
It's like a true leader does.
What's he wearing? Is he still wearing?
And he always knows what's going on. Drew's like omnipresent.
Quiet.
He's like, hey, so your son had a game early this morning.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. I'm like, yeah, it was good. And did your other son had a game last night? I'm like, yeah, Drew, yeah. So then we'll get to talking, and what I love about Drew is he's just casual. He's like Belichick. He's an evil genius. He'll get what he needs to get out of you for the betterment of the show. So he'll say, so Nate, Nate, so the San Francisco running game, it's pretty good, huh? And I'm like, yeah, it's pretty good. And I'll start talking casually. He's taking down notes. And I might say a definitive statement, something that really has a little bit of grip to it.
Yes.
He's like, all right, that's good. You go with that. And he'll say, boom, boom. Hey, so this Daniel Jones kid, he's pretty good replacement for Eli, right?
Right.
And then boom goes on a little rant. And he's like, all right, that's good. Save that for the show. So it's great, man. It's actually something that I take in my everyday life. If I need to get information out of my kids, I'll use the Drew Kalinske method. I'll just say, hey little mate, that biology grade, we're going to have to get that up, right?
That.
He's like, yeah, Dad, you know, my assignments, it's been a little rough, but I think I can do better on the pop quizzes. I'm like, there it is. See, you answered the question. Let's get them pop quizzes right. So, yeah, a little bit of Drew is rubbing off on me. I just don't have the salt and pepper hair yet.
Oh, no. But and Drew is just, he's one of, he got me into broadcasting. I worked for the Yes Sports Network with John Sterling. He's one of the great ones in the business, and you're right. He's so unassuming, and he just gets what he needs in a very chill, great, great way. And every once in a while, though, he'll get his gander up. Have you seen him get a little bit upset yet, or are you guys too big? He got upset at me a few times.
Yeah, no, he'll get upset, but usually it has to do with something technical.
Right.
Like if the microphones, our microphones went out a couple weeks ago.
That wasn't
he
good.
Came stomping in like King Kong. I was like, whoa, what's going on in here?
I love it.
He had
that.
A little fire in his eyes.
Yes.
I was like, all right, something's going on. Let me shut up right now and listen to Drew.
Nate, last question, because the clock is ticking here. You're getting ready to run through the tunnel in an NFL stadium. And then you're getting ready for the NFL Today show, and the light comes on. What's the difference in the feeling, or is there any similarity when you're on and it's showtime?
There is no difference. Before every game, I would get really nervous, and my heart would start beating fast.
Right.
And then I get out on the field. I still have a little bit of anxiety. The very first play, as soon as somebody would touch me, hit me, bump
over.
Me, or I catch the ball and take a hit, I'll get up, dust myself off, I'll do a shoulder shrug, I look at that DB and be like, ah, okay, this
Here
is it.
Go.
I'm meant to do this. And then from there, every bit of anxiety and nervousness is washed away.
Yep.
Now I'm in the zone. I feel good. You know, it's like getting on that court and making that first move. Maybe you pick the pocket of the offensive player, or you hit the guy with a crossover and drop off a dunk to your big man. He dunks, the crowds go crazy, and then you walk back. You know, it's like you get that one big play or that one big moment, and from there, everything else is as expected. It's the same exact feeling in TV. No matter how long I do it, no matter how many compliments and people praise me and say that I'm decent at this job or even good at it.
Right.
When they say 10, 9, 8, and then say, all right, guys, you ready? Okay. Remember, Phil, it's going to be you, and then Cower, and then boom, and Nate. And it's like 5, 4, and then we're like, all right, guys, have a good one. 3, 2, the whole time my heart is jumping through my shirt.
Yes.
And I'm keeping it cool, and I'm casual, and I'm practicing under my breath what I'm going to say. And then as soon as I get my few first words out,
boom,
and I get a little giggle or a laugh or somebody's like, oh, you know, or I make a good point where, you know, one of the producers gets in my ear and he's like, yo, Nate, that was really good.
Yes.
It's like that first hit. It's like me hitting that first layup.
Amen.
Or making that floater right by the dotted line. And then all of a sudden, I'm good. It's like, whew, all right, now let's play ball. And then once I get my first comment out on TV, it's like, all right, now let's have a good show.
Hey, Nate. I knew you were good, but you're really, really good. I'm gonna fight for Drew to get. We need more airtime from you. Boom! I'm boomer too much. I'm gonna get you more airtime.
I'm down. You tell me.
Hey, when. I want you down for a practice or a game at FDU, a Bergen County's Division I program. Hey, I could talk to you all day about what you've done in basketball, football, on the mic with the NFL Today show. You are a good dude, man. I really appreciate you coming on and sharing the airwaves with us.
Of course, man. Anytime. You let me know, man.
That was Nate Burleson on the Greg Herenda Show. And we'll be back after this.
Hey, this is Bill Cowher of CBS. You're listening to the Greg Herenda Show on WFDU.